Today is January 6th, Topsy-Turvy Day. So... Hi, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Jonathan.
Welcome to the 8th Laughing Place podcast. This week, we're going to be discussing money.
Cash.
The top 10 richest Disney characters, money-saving tips at Walt Disney World and Disneyland, an armchair Imagineering segment about Narnia, doesn't really have much to do with money, and trivia and other stuff.
Very profound.
Thank you. Now let's get started with Rachel with the news.
At Disneyland, Goofy's Bounce House and Mickey's Toontown unexpectedly closed last week. The attraction has been taken off the map with the promise of a Toonie replacement. Rumors have pointed to the interactive play area getting an overhaul to make it more lawyer-friendly.
Well, I remember when Toontown first opened and Chippendale's Treehouse actually had a slide and Donald's Boat had a slide and... gradually, it's become more and more boring that you almost wonder if they should just demolish the West Half and build Mickey's PhilharMagic or something.
Both theme parks have raised ticket prices for the new year. Walt Disney World's base one-day, one-park ticket is $63, and Disneyland Parks is $59.
Well, it seems like it never fails. A year goes by, and ticket prices go up. That means if we keep seeing a 5% increase in about 5 years, we'll be up to $78.
That's pretty ridiculous.
You know it's going to get bad when they start having loan consultants at the front gate.
DVC members may contact member services to add the Disney Dining Plan to their DVC resort reservations for arrivals on or after April 1st, 2006. At Walt Disney World's Downtown Disney, Pooh Corner and Disney Tales will temporarily close January 1st, 2006 to January 14th, 2006. They will reopen in January during the World of Disney refurbishment. The World of Disney is adding the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, a location for girls to get their hair, nails, and makeup done.
Boutique! Ah!
No, I didn't find it quite that funny.
Yeah, apparently the Zippity-Doo Spa and High Diddle-Dee-Doos never made it off the drawing board.
The West Times reported Walt Disney World characters and ambassadors unveiled a new medieval-themed garden atrium recently at Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children. The product was a gift from Disney Imagineers and cast members who donated more than 3,500 hours of time and talent to transform the hotel's atrium into a storybook setting that tells the tale of a medieval fantasy garden. The 13th annual Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend that runs from January 5th to the 8th will include a new split-day format with the 13.1-mile half marathon on Saturday, January 7th, and the 26.2-mile full marathon on Sunday, January 8th.
Now, you know what I want? I want a Walt Disney World Marathon on the Disney Channel. 26 hours of Walt Disney World programming. Wouldn't that be awesome?
At the Magic Kingdom, the stroller rental and locker rental have been swapped. Stroller rental can now be found underneath the Main Street Railroad Station.
And let me tell you, it is really nice to finally be able to walk underneath the railroad station without a huge line of stroller rental people. It's much better traffic control now, and I think that even though there are less lockers, they probably weren't like fully being used anyway. So I think it's a win-win situation for everybody involved.
Amusement Business has released its estimates of theme park attendance. The Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World in Orlando is at number one with 16.1 million guests and an increase of 6.5%. Disneyland in Anaheim, California was second with 14.5 million guests and an increase of 8.5%. Epcot at Walt Disney World was third with 9.9 million visitors, giving it a 5.5% increase from last year. And Disney MGM Studios and Disney's Animal Kingdom at Walt Disney World in Orlando attracted 8.6 and 8.2 million guests for an increase of 5%. Disney's California Adventure placed 7th with 5.8 million guests visiting over the last year for an increase of 3.6%.
Now for today's trivia question. How much did it cost to build the original Disneyland? The answer is coming up.
And now it's time for Armchair Imagineering, where we step into Imagineering shoes for a few minutes and come up with new ideas for Disney theme parks all around the world. Today's topic is about how to incorporate the Chronicles of Narnia stories into a theme park attraction.
Well, let's start off with an idea we got from Indigo in the Laughing Place forums. He said, the question is, do you do an attraction based just on the first movie, or do you assume, slash hope, that the whole series of movies will be successful and prepare a whole land at, say, Disney MGM Studios or Animal Kingdom, both of which need to expand a bit? Let's take the attraction option here. Here's an attraction I would like to see. Take the ride mechanism for Soarin', add a wider range of motion, and keep the IMAX format. Then you could soar over the lands of Narnia, encounter various key characters, barely escape from the White Witch, and fly over the final battle scene, playing a key part in the story, of course. The twin advantages of this attraction is that it is high capacity if double theaters are built, and if Narnia quickly fades from collective memory, then a new film could be switched in with a different theme.
I think that's a very interesting idea, especially the last comment about the film being switched in with a different theme. I think that with how successful the Narnia books were before the films and just how well known they are, that eventually, even if the movies aren't as well known, it could kind of become like a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, where people may be familiar with the characters, not necessarily familiar with the Disney version, but familiar enough with the characters that the ride could stand on its own.
But rather than just perhaps do just Soarin', perhaps they could take it to the next level by making it 3D, perhaps? I'm not sure how that would work with the motion and all that, but
I don't necessarily know if Disney needs another film-based attraction, because they seem to have a lot of those, at least they've been making a lot of those lately. Personally, I would like to see something more along the lines of an elaborate dark ride, or even just a whole land, which would probably be the best way to incorporate the ideas of Narnia. One thing, though, is interesting to talk about is if they ever did build a land of Narnia, how would you do the transition to get guests into the land? I mean, do you think that they could maybe possibly do something like a stepping into the wardrobe? I mean, it'd be really hard to do that on a massive scale. Basically, you'd have to build maybe a house with lots of different rooms with wardrobes in them that you send people in batch by batch, but that's a very elaborate way to get people into a land. So how would you handle the transition?
Well, you could just have the wardrobe just sitting there waiting for you to go in.
But making everybody, like, bottleneck into one wardrobe certainly wouldn't work for a popular land.
True, but, I mean, they did do it with the Narnia, the Step into Narnia, or whatever it's called at MGM.
Yeah, Step into Narnia. The thing with that attraction, though, is that, like I said, it would be something where you'd have to have, like, a big building where people go into different rooms, and then in different groups of, like, 20, they enter the land. But to do something that elaborate would be a very big, interesting step in terms of theme park attractions, but it's never really been... I've never seen a land with such a big introduction to itself.
It would almost turn the land into a walkthrough attraction rather than just making it its own land. Well, you could just, I don't know, it's a very fascinating idea there, just to, you could just walk in, to just walk there. So it would kind of take away from the story element in a sense, but yet it's not necessarily the biggest thing in the world that you would have to step through the wardrobe exactly, would it?
No, I mean, in the books, there's more than one way to enter Narnia. They enter lots of different ways. The only one that I can think of you could execute in a theme park is the wardrobe, but the books certainly set up an idea that you can enter Narnia through various ways. So maybe they could make some sort of cave or some other opening. I think the main thing that I would love to see them do, though, is somehow, if they were going to make a land, capture the feel that you've gone from one world to a dramatically different world within just a couple of feet. And there's ways you can do that, either through a building or some sort of mountain that kind of blocks the land. But it'd be really cool if they could capture the feel of entering. Maybe they could do the land like Mermaid Lagoon and make it totally inside a show building so you only see it when you enter in. I mean, that would be really cool.
Well, where, when it comes to Animal Kingdom, is the expansion space behind Everest, or is it at the other side of the park? Because if it was behind Everest, that would kind of help in the department of theming, because you just see Everest, and it sort of looks like a Narnia-ish mountain.
I'm not sure whether or not there's room behind Everest. I mean, there may be, but I don't think that's been marked for expansion. I think that the main expansion, if they're going to do a Narnia land in Animal Kingdom, which I do think is a good idea, would be between Camp Minnie Mickey and Africa. But I agree, in terms of Animal Kingdom, getting Narnia attraction would be, or a land would be great, because it'd be the way to do a mythical area, but yet keep the realism, because Narnia is a very realistic area, and it feels worn. It fits in with Animal Kingdom very well, I think.
But don't forget that they'd be able to put the beaver exhibit. Yeah!
And in terms of out in California, I think the best place to put a Narnia attraction probably would be at the Big Thunder Ranch site, because it's in between Frontierland and Fantasyland. So, I mean, it's not exactly a segue between the two, but you go from, like, castles to, like, forest. And so I think in the Big Thunder Trail, it wouldn't be such a harsh transition. And I think, honestly, it fits a lot better than there than it would at California Adventure. Well, what do you think the sort of ride system they could do for a attraction, besides Indigo mentioned in terms of a Soarin' type? I mean, you could maybe do sleighs and make it like a dark ride, but what would you think?
I think that Narnia could be made into a water ride. For some reason, I don't quite understand why that's the first thing that comes to my mind. It is because of when I think of Narnia, I think of, like, the snow. So the first thing that came to my mind was, like, you're in melting snow, and it's some sort of water attraction.
Well, that is a good idea if they do one more based on the line, The Witch and the Wardrobe, that they start you on, like, a sled that's in the snow, and then in the middle of the attraction, like, when the snow is melting, it becomes, like, a water-ish ride. That'd be a good idea, I think. Well, that concludes our Armchair Imagineering discussion about Narnia. Next week, we're going to be talking about Fantasmic 2.0, which has long been rumored. We're going to talk about what we would do if we were given the ability to refurbish Fantasmic and bring it up to 2006.
And if you have any ideas, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-327-5072. And if you're under 18 years of age, please make sure you have your parents' or guardian's permission before calling.
You can also email us at podcast@laughingplace.com or just post in the discussion boards on laughingplace.com in the podcast section.
This week in Disney history. January 7th marks the 14th anniversary of Voyage of the Little Mermaid at Disney MGM Studios. January 9th marks the 19th anniversary of Star Tours at Disneyland. January 10th is the birthday of Roy Edward Disney. January 12th is the birthday of John Lasseter.
This week on Tour Tips, we're going to give some of our favorite things you can do at the different theme parks for free.
Cha-ching!
At Walt Disney World, you can always ride the monorails, the buses, and all the boats from resort to resort. Now, this may not sound too exciting, but some of them are very pretty trips. Like, I especially like the Old Key West to Downtown Disney boat ride, and the monorail ride from Magic Kingdom or the TTC to Epcot is long, and it's fun, and you get to, like, get a little tour of Epcot. Also, at Walt Disney World, you can usually go over to the Animal Kingdom Lodge, especially if you're planning on eating at the restaurant there. But usually they'll let you in, even if you just say you're shopping or whatnot. And you can look around, look at the animals. It's a beautiful atmosphere. It's a lot of fun.
Well, at Epcot, they have a robot exhibit where you could actually create your own colorful plastic robot, and you could take it home absolutely free. There's even a little arcade game you can do, too, which is quite fun. You get to build your own virtual robot, too.
Of course, normal Epcot admission applies. Over at Downtown Disney, you can also make your own card of a Mr. Potato Head with all the parts, and you can customize it however you want, and you get a free printout that you can give to your friends back home as, like, a postcard.
At the Grand Californian Hotel, you could take a free tour that focuses on the architecture and style that they use to create it.
So as you can see, there are lots of things to do at Disney without ruining your pocketbook.
Or Epcot, every pocketbook comes out trashed. The trivia question was, how much did it cost to build the original Disneyland? The answer is $17 million. Today's top 10 list is focused on the richest Disney characters. Cha-ching and all that sort of fun stuff. So, let's start off at number 10. The Seven Dwarfs in Snow White.
We take up time and find a score. Thousand movies sometimes born. But we don't know what we dig them for. We dig, 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 dig.
Now, they would be a whole lot higher on the list. Unfortunately, they choose to not do anything with their wealth. And they keep all of their jewels in a vault. And any financial expert can tell you the best way to get wealthy is by investing it.
Number 9, the Sultan from Aladdin.
While his palace seems really nice, we don't get a huge indication of his wealth. And if you go by his place, he doesn't seem to have a lot of furniture. So maybe he's not that wealthy.
Feng shui and all that. She has to flow correctly through the palace. Well, he has a lot of those miniature figures, and he has a model of his own palace, so that's got to say something. Number 8, Prince John in Robin Hood.
Although Prince John called himself the king, everyone else called him the phony king. He was so ugly and so mean and so bad that no one liked him. Not even me.
He even sleeps with his money, so... He's pretty rich.
But of course, he loses it all by the end of the film. So he's just rich for a sort of amount of time. In a crooked way, anyways. Number 7, King Stefan.
And I did not do that intentionally.
From Sleeping Beauty.
Again, you don't get a huge indication of his wealth, but he does seem pretty well off. I mean, he has a castle and everything.
Number 6. Mr. Toad in The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
He would be a lot wealthier if he didn't keep ruining all of his money of destroying everything.
Merrily on his way to bankruptcy. Number 5, Stanley Yelnats in Holes.
Now see what I was talking about investing? This is why you do that. Those stocks they had from, I think it was AT&T, are worth millions of dollars.
Number 4, Mia Thermopolis in The Princess Diaries.
You don't get an idea of how much she's inherited in the first movie, but when you get to the second one and she opens her closet and there's, like, lots of jewels and she's got the most amazing suite, then you kind of get the idea that she's well taken care of.
Number 3, Mr. Biddle from The Happiest Millionaire.
Very, very wealthy person who keeps alligators.
That's gotta say something for how rich you are when you could afford a whole, like, room of alligators.
Well, I think he caught them in Florida. But he has to take care of them, which can't be too cheap. I mean, I think alligators eat a lot, so.
So he caught them in Florida or bought them in Florida?
He caught them in Florida.
Well, you have to be rich enough to buy the equipment, then.
Touché.
Number 2, Ben Gates in National Treasure.
It's nice to see somebody get that wealthy using their brain power, and not just greed. After all, he wasn't after all that money, but he got it anyway. An important message to us all!
How deep and profound. And now... Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, number 1... Scrooge McDuck. That's all.
Scrooge bathes in this huge, like, bank of money. And I don't think that's even possible. I mean, I've never tried to jump into coins, but I have a huge suspicion that if you did, they would all bunch together and you wouldn't be able to really penetrate through them.
He has a lot of scars that you can't see.
And a lot of Simbas, too.
That was pretty horrible.
But anyway, I mean, it's not possible, is it, to jump into... You can't really penetrate money like that. Wouldn't it all bunch up on you?
I don't know, we should try it sometime. If you're listening, send us a coin. We'll get enough and we'll make a big bank and we'll try to swim in it and see what happens.
We'll start doing the Disney Mythbusters.
all for the sake of science.
And our pocketbooks won't mind too much either. Well, that wraps up another cashy episode.
What exactly does that mean?
I'm not entirely sure. Doesn't make any sense. Ha ha ha. Okay, we better stop before we lose our listeners.
Cashy episode. If you'd like to give us a message of any sort about even the armchair imagineering you're going to be doing next week, you can call us at 1-866-327-5072. And if you're under 18 years of age, please make sure you have your parents' or guardian's permission before calling.
And if you'd like to send us money, our PayPal account is... No, I'm just kidding.
We wish.
And now, Jonathan, with the last words.
The grass is always greener in somebody else's lake.
Goodbye.
See ya.